I just went back and urged Brother Branham to leave me out and come in and go to work. But he said, you go in and speak a few words, so I do that reluctantly. I think we ought to get him in right away early while the people are restful. I say only just a few words to encourage those. I have a message here, but not time for that. But we'll say that God's will in the matter of healing, everyone here tonight, is just as clearly revealed in the Bible as it is His will to forgive any sinner of his sins tonight. And I have proven many, many thousands of times that by the simple presentation of nothing but the written word, the Bible, that any incurable man or woman, I see incurable from the standpoint of just the human side, can by the simple presentation of the written word be brought to the same state of certainty and assurance and freedom from fear before anything happens, as any sinner can be brought to the same state of mind with reference to the healing of his soul. If that isn't true, I never would preach on the subject of divine healing. Faith presupposes that the sick person has found foolproof reasons for what they expect. How many are hearing? I can talk slower, I can talk louder, either way. How many are hearing? My habit is talking fast. I'm hard to keep slow, but I can do it if I have to because I want people to hear. I say the Bible removes every bit of uncertainty from the mind of the person in need on any subject in the Bible where God's will is revealed. There are 3,827 promises, every one of which is a revelation of what God is eager to do beyond the power of any person to realize. Because as our brother sang tonight about that beautiful song about the love of God, it's so far beyond our conception, only so far as we experience it, that it can't be illustrated. So that God is yearning to do what you want Him to. Some people say, if I'll just beg enough and pray earnest enough and get others to pray with me, they think by ganging up on God, they can get Him good enough to be interested. That's as far from the nature of God as you can go. I said, I believe last night that no man, no preacher ever was able to illustrate the intensity of God's desire to do for everybody anything that's right. And the Bible tells what is right by His promise, so we can come to Him without entertaining any uncertainty whatever. If God could have His way, every sick person would be healed tonight. I know what I'm talking about. I don't know much, but I know what I'm talking about on that subject because we've taken time to find out what God's Word says for many, many years. I say we have proven many thousands of times that by the simple presentation of the written Bible, I haven't time for that tonight, that the will of God is so fully revealed that anyone and everyone can have faith if they have their mental powers. We prove that night after night for many years. So it's just as much God's will and just as easy for the sick man and the sick woman, unless they're suffering so bad they can't think straight, to enter into God's blessing for their body as their soul.
Amen.
And the same Greek word translated saved throughout the New Testament, the Greek word sozo, is also translated healed.
Yes.
One time for the soul, another time for the body. And that's a great subject in itself. If I had a time to preach a little bit, I'd preach on that subject tonight and give you the scriptures right straight through where that word sozo translated save one time, heal the next. I'll give only two. In the 10th chapter of Romans, we read that confession is made unto salvation. Unto salvation. And that word saved, translated, the word sozo translated saved, is the same word translated healed in many other places throughout the New Testament. For instance, in the 14th chapter of Acts, when Paul went down to Lystra and Derbe, where they never heard a sermon and never had seen a miracle, Paul fixed his eyes on a man that never walked from his mother's womb and preached the word to him till the man received faith to be healed. That shows what Paul preached. And Paul, perceiving that he had faith to be sozo, translated healed, talking about the body now, said, stand on your feet upright. And so on, right through the New Testament. The only difference is that people have in our day have not been taught that side of the gospel.
That's right.
Not something apart from the gospel, but the gospel itself. The fact that God will heal is the gospel. The fact that God will heal the soul is the gospel.
That's right.
The fact that God will do anything else promised is just a part of the gospel, that's all. And God is just as faithful to one promise as to any other promise in the Bible. If I'd ask everyone here that believed that God would forgive your sins tonight if you had done wrong today and came and repented, you'd all raise your hand. I believe that. Why? You've all but heard that part.
That's right.
That's all. No difference. The other part has only been taught fragmentarily with a lot of ifs in it and a lot of misgivings and traditions for which there's no scripture whatever.
That's right.
That makes faith utterly impossible.
That's right.
No man can have faith and have any doubt at all about God's will in the matter of your receiving whatever you're after.
That's right.
We come to God not entertaining any uncertainty at all. One time my brother and I went to California. On the way out we saw Pike's Peak. And coming back, we expected Pike's Peak to still be there, and it happened to be, but it might not have been. Because the mountains shall be removed and the hills depart, but my covenant of peace shall not depart.
Amen.
More sure than the foundation of any mountain is the fulfillment of any promise in this Bible that fits your case. And our job in this world is to open the way for God to fulfill His promises. Everything that God wants done on this earth, He promised to do that Himself. Through us, of course, He works through human instrumentality. We are the fruit-bearing part of the vine. And God can do anything He wants to do through human beings, the same works that Christ did. He said so. It's been there all the time. People turn it aside, but it's there, all right. In the Bible, the works that I do shall they do, the believer, because He works only through branches and He works only through the Word. So I want to say for the encouragement of any that have not heard the subject of healing, we can prove if we preach here for days and days that it's just as much God for will to heal you and to do it through your own prayer if you're taught right, as it is to forgive any man's sin when he calls on God to save. There's no uncertainty. That's what I love about the work. I enjoy ahead of time what God's going to do because I know what He'll do.
Yes.
There's no uncertainty about it. All we have to do is want things in God's way. And when we know our part and act on what God says, it'll always work. Let me say that any person here tonight, whether it's for the healing of your body or for anything else promised in the whole Bible, you can turn any promise of God into the power of God in your behalf.
That's right.
By simply acting on the Word, doing your part and working with God so He can do His part. No failure at all. Not one in the world. Not one. No uncertainties. So we've seen that proven thousands of times. I might say just a word. We came back from Africa the second time. And practically all of those thousands healed were healed through their prayer. First showing the people carefully from God's Word. And then the fact that God will hear anyone's prayer. And just like any baby, every baby can do its own crying. The mothers here don't have to have your neighbor's baby cry for your baby. Your baby can do your own crying. So God says to everyone that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sozo. And that's any phase of salvation. You have a right. You have no legal merits. But thank God, you have a legal right to have anything that God has provided in the Bible.
Right.
We don't come begging. We don't have to even do any begging. If we understand right what God has already done for us by the death of Christ on the cross, all we have to do is act on that fact. Our redemption is not in the future, it's in the past tense, already done. Our acceptance of what God has done may be in the future, but had not to be. Because now is always the time to walk in the light. And so God tonight is just as eager, far more than you are. You don't have to be healed. You can go to heaven when you die. I was given up to die, breathed through one lung, and no hope of living. Coughed 8 years. And happy about it. I didn't know I could be healed. But when someone told me about it, then I said, all right, I'll let God heal me. And He did that way back when I was a young man. I'm still here. I think I am, at least. And so this is for you. And where there's time for it, and people can be thoroughly instructed enough first, the Word of God will do everything it's promised.
Amen.
And everyone can turn the Word of God into the power of God equal to what He's promised if you claim the promise and act on that promise.
Right.
Believe what God says, think what God thinks, say what God says, confession is made, that means saying the same thing unto salvation, and keep at it. It'll work every time in a minute.
Yes.
Oh, I thank God thousands of times in tears for the absolute certainty of all that God has promised. And God will do everything in the world He wants to do and will do it if he just gets the people to do like Mary said when she had been promised what no one else had ever been promised. Be it unto me according to thy word. Thank God we can have his word fulfilled.
Amen.
And I've proven thousands of times that the impossibility from the human point of view, where you've reached a stage where there's no human way to ever come out, why, that seems to be the easiest of all.
That's right.
Because it depends upon God. Let me say now just a few words about the gift that Brother Branham has received. I thank God thousands of times for that. I've seen the same result for many, many years, but not in that particular way. You know how the angel came to him and told him that God had sent him to take a gift of healing to the peoples of the world. And I want to say this now for the benefit of those who receive no healing cards and anyone else that needs help in that way or any other way, the same thing, that where the gift of healing is operating, then healing is available to every person in an audience of any size. And that ought to be taught and explained before every message, before Branham comes to speak. For I have been with him in his several meetings. We've done that. And Brother Branham has pointed about in the second gallery, in the first gallery, and everywhere. I'll just give a case or two, and Brother Branham's ready. Tell him to come in, and I'll explain. Because I want to help you. Some people, they come in tears, say, I couldn't get a healing card, or my card wasn't called. Doesn't take a healing card. I'm going to say in Africa there were 1,000 healed by being taught and then following a prayer, praying a prayer that we gave them the words for. When they got through, cancer were gone,
Amen.
Blind eyes open, and so on everywhere. I met a young man just before I came in tonight. It came from Switzerland. I said, when he introduced himself, do you know Brother Geschwen from Pretoria, the capital of South Africa? Yes, I know him. Well, I said, I spoke for him. On the fifth night, the same every night, but the fifth night, which was my day of rest, I was there alone. He said, could you come out tonight? Says, one tent is taken down. They had four. And I said, yes, I'd rather be out there than any place in the world. Don't care about rest. I'm not tired. So we went out, and after explaining just in a conversational way and showing the people the basis and the fact that God will hear their prayer, everyone that asketh receiveth. You have that because you ask not, and those scriptures right through the Bible, magnifying the fact that God wants each one to find their place in his family, then leading in prayer. When we get through, they'd come hundreds at a time. Deaf ears were open, deaf, dumb, mutes were healed, blind eyes were open. In one place, 66 blind eyes were open. I never saw one, never touched one.
Amen.
In the fifth chapter of Acts, after the church had prayed for signs and wonders, God heard that prayer. And then they brought the sick into the streets of Jerusalem and laid them upon beds and upon couches. And from all the towns round about Jerusalem, and they're healed, how many? Every one.
That's right.
Peter never touched one. And they didn't get as close to Peter as that woman who touched Christ's garment. But they're healed, how many? Every one. Demon-possessed and all. And let me say, because of the cumulative power of mass faith, it's much easier for a whole audience, if it is, to be healed at one time, that is the same number one at a time. Wish I'd known that a few years ago. I wouldn't work half so hard. Because of the cumulative power of mass faith. One shall chase 1,000. 2, 10,000. Not 2,000, 10,000. 5 times more. And that ratio increases. And as the number, and the greater the crowd, the easier it is. And I always thought we always had to stop and cast out demons in Christ's name. No, sir. You get mass faith, a demon goes. He can't stand it.
That's right.
It's like throwing a tear bomb. And I want to say about this Brother Geschwen. Went out that fifth night and prayed for the people in mass. And I said, now please, no one try to testify. There won't be time except those healed right tonight, just now, when we got through praying, through their prayer. And no one that you that have been healed tonight except those who have been healed in some visible way, like deaf ears or blind eyes or goiters or tumors or something you can see, something you're sure about, because the cancer cases can come a week later. And I said, no one but those healed right this one service tonight, just now, when we prayed together, if you have something done visibly, you come and tell. And they started at 9:30 and testified to 2 the next morning. That's one service. We go on for hours and hours of things at that same time. But now this one thought. The gift of healing operates, we'll say, on this level. Brother Branham never operated the gift of healing. No one else ever did. It's God which worketh all of those gifts himself. God does only. That's a proof of his presence, what he does. It confirms his word, which heals. And that gift operates when faith reaches a certain level. Now, you're down here doing your level best, maybe. You say, Brother Branham, I've just read a book on the Isaiah. I've got all the faith in the world. He'll say, you're trying to believe. He knows. I can't have got that discernment he has. But here, your faith here, and the gift operates here. Well, knowing that, I have gone out in the audience night after night when I've been in with Brother Branham and met the bad cases. I just think of one now, a girl they brought down to Miami at a meeting, and Johns Hopkins and Mayo Brothers both pronounced her absolutely hopeless. Nothing more could be done. Leukemia, you know what that is. Every time you read about leukemia, it's only 3 weeks or 2 weeks or 1 week to live. And this girl, I helped carry her in. I had to help because they had to put her over the platform down in front. And she was suffering, and her mind was getting away from her. It just, her mind was wavering because that leukemia got in, began to touch the brain. I went down and I said, I know how you're suffering, but if you just remember this one, just be quietly trusting God to put your faith on the level where the gift that God gave Brother Branham operates. He'll either point you out or come down to you. I've said that hundreds of times to others. Brother Branham's in there, and I went back to the platform. I saw her lips moving. She's doing the best she knew. Brother Branham pretty quickly looked down and jumped off the platform, went down and said, get up, you're just healing leukemia. She rose from the cot with her hands upraised and worshiped God back and forth through that building. And I saw her sister after and said, my sister is perfect. You make a difference how that's the most impossible thing there is. And I remember the night we got to Pretoria, the first time we went there, I went with Brother Branham, just helping him in that meeting. And the city hall was the first service. It was all surrounded before dark, while the sun was shining. And the next day they had to go out to a great place where they could seat thousands and thousands out in some open field. And I went to get a bite. I hadn't been in the hall yet myself. I went to get a bite, and some man walked up, touched me on the shoulder, said, are you Brother Bosworth? I said, yes. He knew me, I guess, from the picture he'd seen on the advertising. He said, what am I to do? He said, my little girl is 300 miles from here and dying with cancer of the kidneys. I can't move her. She died. She can't be moved. I said, that makes no difference. You go in there and ask God to put your faith right up there on there. Don't be trying and straining too much. Just quietly trusting God, and Brother Branham will point you out just as sure you're living. So he went in there, and when Brother Branham came in, he was there but a minute or two, said, that man right back there said, your little girl dying with kidney trouble 300 miles from here was just now healed. And over and over and over, I went into Houston, city this side of Houston, I can't think of the name just for the moment, Beaumont, Texas. And I saw a woman, they had cots all up and down in front in that great auditorium. I saw a woman just in agony. Oh, she was just suffered, tortured. I could hardly keep from crying. I saw what she's in. I went down to her. I was going to speak, but I went down to her first and said, woman, I know you're suffering. She said she had sugar diabetes, and her feet were just rotting right on her legs. Gangrene, all wrapped with claws. And oh, it's awful condition. I said, woman, I know you're suffering, but if you could get over on the other side and think about God's promise and ask him to put your faith up there, and I'll pray with you right now that he will. So we prayed there, and I went back. I saw her doing the best she could. Brother Branham, just a minute or two, he looked down, said, woman, get up. You just healed of sugar diabetes. When he said, get up, oh, I said, I wish he had said that. Because I knew about the condition of her feet, standing on feet of that kind, all wrapped with claws. But she got up, and pretty quick she is praising God. The next night she's in the gallery with shoes on, a well woman. And time after time after time, cancer, all kind of diseases. I say that gift is operative down there without a card. The card, one advantage, you have it diagnosed, and that diagnosis helps to raise your faith. But you saw Brother Benham last night. You see him every night. You point back. The people have no card. He never heard of you. Don't know you're here. But you point back that woman back there with a red dress on, whatever it is. God just healed you of so-and-so. So I just tell you that little bit and pray that God will help your faith, but because you can be healed without the gift. Thank God for the gift. As far as I know, I don't know of a single other person in the world for 1,900 years that has the power of seeing and operating the same way that our Brother Branham has. But God can heal everyone here. If you weren't even here, if you're taught right, will act on God's word and believe what God says and say it with your mouth and believe with your heart and reject every thought to the contrary and keep at it, that's all you got to do. God will fulfill his word every time in a million. No one will ever fail except maybe some that suffer so bad they can't hardly think, you know. and you have sympathy for them. A lot more we could say, but that's enough, I guess. I want to turn Brother Branham loose, and let's all be praised.
Amen.